Hello there, I'm Miranda Gretton, and this is Take a Moment with NCHC, the show where we talk to you and your colleagues about experiences that affect you. Listen on your drive between patients or in your downtime, whenever you get the chance to take a moment.
So I'm Dr. Anastasia Shepherd. I'm psychology lead at the Coleman Hospital, which is a level one neuro rehab unit in Norfolk.
My name's Adrian Willis, and I'm currently an assistant practitioner working in kind of Norwich and South Norfolk within the MSK kind of outpatients.
Thank you both for joining me today. So Adrian, tell us your story.
So it all kind of started early mid-2017, where at that point I was living with my wife. I've been with her 10 years, 11 years, somewhere around there, but only married about a year at that stage. My sons at that time, they were, I think, one in three, so all quite young. And we're all kind of quite happy. Since November 2010, I was working for the NHS in North Norfolk, doing my current job I'm doing now, but different locations, so like physiotherapy, outpatients. Things were good, things were happy. But I then started to get a little bit of initial kind of anxiety and low mood, bit of behaviour change, not really sure, too sure why. That just got more and more persistent. I then, really like you do, went to the GP, self-referred myself to Norfolk Wellbeing at that stage. But do you know what? Things were just getting that much worse in terms of more anxiety, anxious on really everything. Nothing's really helping. So I then went to try and get some counselling. So there certainly did have a few, well, quite a few kind of dark times. It got to the point where my marriage then finished kind of mid-June. All of that period really was quite dark, quite frustrating, just an unhappy time for me. I'd stopped working within my MSK job, which I'd done then for about 8 years, just because I really wasn't managing with life. That was June 2018. I then moved out back with my parents. And then at which time I was starting to get a little bit of cloudy vision in my left eye. At the start with, that was all quite just low level intermittent. I think being kind of like a male, you just put that one off. But really that developed and became more frequent and a lot worse to the point I was looking when I was walking or anything else I was doing. And when it's at its worst, you look to your left or your right and you had to look a second time because that cloud, you couldn't see that there was cars passing. So I then thought, you know, it's about time. It's about time I went to go in, get that looked at. Who do I go to? Do I go to my GP or do I go to the optician? So I went to the opticians, which I think the key message before going any further is if you haven't had an eye test, do certainly go. I had that pre-health check and I found then I had some swelling within my optic nerves. And I learned from that really that the optic nerve there, it's an extension to your brain rather than the back of your eye. So they then didn't do the actual eye test, but they wrote me a little letter and advised me to be going to A&E there and then.
Wow, it was that quick. They just said, you've got to go right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I wasn't really getting any other symptoms other than a little bit of cloudy vision, obviously swelling in my optic nerves, but other than a fair bit of anxiety, low mood, behaviour change over that year, 18 months, they wanted me to have like an MRI. This was November, I think. And then there's, I'm going to get the pronunciation wrong, but a meningioma, which is like a little kind of tumour, which was on my frontal lobe, which was... at that point, I didn't know how big it was, but later turns out that was 3 centimeters, which is a good size. There's a lot of fluid going in around my brain too. So I think generally what had happened was the tumor had obviously grown, but all of the inflammation had developed to the point where obviously you get your skull, your cranium, and all that swelling had gone to and compacting on that, which is when you start to get a few more of those physical symptoms. And like, I think this as well really shows how lucky kind of I was there because when you think back to like A&E, when I ask, have you had headaches, have you had anything else? As maybe once or twice, I'd had the real bad migraine, but generally I hadn't had anything. So if you think really no headaches, no seizures, no strokes, no anything else. And it's at that point you think, do you know, how lucky am I?
Mm. So did you have to have surgery then?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so that was, had my consultant then on the January. He then started to go on some steroids and I went back in February to have that surgery removed. within 10 minutes of me waking, I was back on ward, having some lunch. But the thing that's unnerving, you walk past someone in who's wearing scrubs and he says to you, you look better now than you did a few hours ago. And so he's like, well, I know, you know me better than me.
That's mad, isn't it? That someone's been inside your brain.
Yeah.
Crazy. Were you nervous about the surgery going into that? Because that's a big thing.
I wasn't up until you went in the anaesthetic room. And at that point, you think you're in your scrubs, everyone's around you. That bit I got a bit nervous about. But I just think when you're in that situation, you just deal with it.
Goodness me. It's such an interesting story. And there's so much I want to talk about. Let's bring you in, Anastasia, at this point, because the Brain Tumor Charity, I don't know if you're familiar with them, Adrian. On their website, it says that one in three people that they spoke to had experienced personality changes caused by a brain tumor. So what you're talking about here, it can vary from person to person, but it is relatively common, especially things like increased aggression and anxiety. So Anastasia, why is this? Why does this happen?
Well, one of the kind of fundamental things to notice is that we feel like our mind and our body are two separate things, but in fact they're not. Our mind is our brain. That's where it is. So you break the circuit, you break how the whole system works. So essentially there are a whole series of things which happen to the person when they have a brain tumor. Adrian, you described very well that you had the tumor itself right here. Yeah. And you also had water on the brain, hydrocephalus. The tumor pushes on the brain tissue and breaks connections, or at least squashes them. And the water pushes on the brain tissue and squashes the brain tissue. There are various mechanisms of how personality changes happen. In your specific case, the tumor was in the frontal area of the brain.
Yeah.
So the front of the brain is the newest bit of the brain evolutionarily. That's where all things get put together and coordinated. And that's where more complex thinking happens. That's where organization happens. That's where many people argue our idea of ourselves happens. Because that's the most complex perception we have of ourselves. It's also where we allocate attention to various things, where we plan and problem solve and all those things. So executive functioning is the collective term for that, happens in the frontal lobes. Now, unfortunately, for us in terms of evolution, there are a lot of quite sharp bones up here above your eyes. So when you squash the brain on top of the sharp bits, again, it causes direct damage. The direct damage to executive functioning means you no longer feel like yourself. You don't know why you're reacting unusually. You don't know what's going on. You can't plan as well. You can't pay attention as well. Now, once you realize that things are going wrong, it gets your anxiety up sky high immediately, because there's nothing more scary than losing yourself, than losing the sense of yourself, your ability to rely on your body and your mind. There is nothing more fundamental. Then once your anxiety goes up, it's much more difficult to pay attention, to concentrate, to think. So you have this kind of vicious circle developing. Yeah. And the other side of this vicious circle is that you don't react the way you did before. You get worried more easily. You get distracted more easily. You get irritable. Yeah. People notice that. People start reacting, especially, you know, close family and things like that. Now you not only feel like you're using control over yourself, you feel like you're losing control over your basic relationships. That scares you even more. And this kind of vicious circle spirals you down. And it is quite common that with fairly small injuries, affecting directly that sense of self, you would have quite a significant personality change because of all those factors coming together. And of course, again, your circuit, your machinery is not working as well as it used to.
Yeah.
So it's more difficult to cope with it. Does it all make sense?
Absolutely. It really honestly does.
So in terms of, this specific injury, that's probably what happened. There are some additional factors. And for you, you mentioned sleep. Sleep is literally when your brain cleans itself, repairs itself, when memories are formed. Sleep is absolutely essential part of our normal functioning. Sleep disorders account for a huge percentage of cognitive thinking problems and mood problems, irritabilities. You know, we all know when we didn't sleep well, the next morning we wake up going, ah. So it is a normal reaction to lack of sleep. If your sleep goes down and down and down, then you have cumulative lack of sleep. And in fact, there has been quite a lot of research which shows that cumulative lack of sleep can lead to significant memory problems, thinking problems, anxiety, depression, and eventually to delirium. You just become so confused, you don't know what's real.
Yeah.
So sleep disorder by itself is another huge factor. Another factor is the sheer amount of pressure. So if water starts pushing the brain, then the whole machine doesn't work as well as it used to. So that adds to anxiety and confusion. So all those things happen and they all make each other worse. That's why fairly small physical change causes a lot of change in terms of function. So that is a fairly long answer to a fairly short question.
No, that's great. Thank you.
So Adrian, have you noticed then post-surgery, so since having it removed and, you know, essentially going back to normal executive function, you know, as Anastasia is saying, have you got your executive functions back? Do you feel like you're sort of back to, inverted commas, normal?
The whole experience, certainly, I think it has benefited me overall, because certainly I think if I look at things where I am today, so I'm back doing the same job as I did kind of before, as I did pre-surgery, which is great, different location. But I think certainly the way that I treat my patients is certainly, and related to not just my patients there, but I think relate to people. I certainly feel like I can relate to people and have certainly different conversations than I did before. I've since learned to play the guitar, not very well. But I coach my son's football team now, which I certainly wouldn't have dreamt of doing before. So overall, I do feel like that experience has certainly benefited me. But there's a few little things there that I can certainly feel I have a bit of anxiety still at times, but then probably who doesn't? But I think certainly that ability to recognise it, to manage it, is certainly improved.
You can't underestimate that anxiety and that sort of 18-month period that you had, you know, regardless of the physical thing that was happening to your body, that kind of your mental health had suffered. And I think, you know, you can't just expect, I suppose, to have the tumor removed and all of a sudden, you know, Adrian's back from 2018, you know. I think you've been on a journey, and I guess it's now about you understanding what this has added to your life and what it's taken away and who you are now. And how do you feel about that now, you know, in terms of looking forward? And are you feeling more positive about the future?
Absolutely, because I certainly think that I do feel a lot more positive in terms of who I am. And it's that 18-month period. It's not just the fact that I had a real rubbishy time there. It's that not knowing, it's why are things getting worse? Why is everything I'm trying not helping? So that really was a reason, at least. I mean, I do honestly feel like it's been a second chance. So really, I wasn't, maybe I was a little bit nervous going into that, afraid going into that surgery, but really it's only a positive, because I do honestly think that my ability to communicate with others has certainly improved. You never truly understand what other people go through because that's who they are, but you can certainly relate to things and you're more able to appreciate and understand, or not understand, but relate, really. So certainly I do feel, I mean, my relationship now, like my son's an absolute best thing in my life. And when you really have in those real rubbishy days, my phone is filled with photos of me and my kids, and when you see their smiley faces, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Knowing now with hindsight, looking back and saying, well, it was a brain tumor, of course I was going to behave differently, that's really common. But in those moments, not knowing what it was that was causing that must have been really scary for you. And I guess, like you said, everyone sort of to a degree has a bit of anxiety. what tips it into something more sinister? And I suppose for you, it was that it was such a change in who you were fundamentally, that, you know, you'd never been like that before. And it was such a sort of personality shift.
Basically, anybody, if you have a sudden change in your function, which is persistent, which is, you know, carrying on something uncharacteristic, I would highly recommend go to your GP and try and get them to diagnose you, not just give you meds, but diagnose what is actually happening. It is becoming problematic because of the stretch of the system, but that's what will save a lot of heartache later on. After a brain injury, any kind of brain injury, it takes the kind of most dramatic change happens in 2 years. So your brain is still recovering, it's still repairing, it's still rebuilding the connections. So changes in memory and maybe efficiency and all of those things may persist, but they may not. It may repair itself. And in fact, after the first 2 years, the changes continue. So your brain continues to repair itself for another decade or so.
Okay.
And it tends to be stepwise. So you acquire a certain number of coping skills, certain number of new connections in your brain, and you suddenly notice that you are doing quite a lot better in something. And then it continues like that. So brain injury is not a sentence by itself. We do repair, we do improve, and the more you use it, like with physical health, the more improvement you are likely to expect. So that's something to kind of keep in mind.
Definitely. I think that makes sense, because certainly, I mean, I've got MRIs now biannually for the next, like, or 10 years kind of post-op, so that really would make some sense. Where the tumor was sometimes can reduce and go. Still got a bit of a hole where that was. Often that recovers.
The fact that there is a bit missing as well is not a sentence, because what happens is, imagine if you are going down a road and it's blocked. What happens is people start going around, and that's what happens to your brain. So even if you have a bit of missing tissue, if it's small enough, and again, with time and with exercise, you build connections around it. You build ways around it.
Adrian, do you now do sort of like brain training exercises?
I'm thinking I maybe should do.
You need to buy a Sudoku book.
I do, because I mean, I'm a keen gym goer. So I mean, I'm more than happy being in gym 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week. I really should be doing a little bit more of that mental training. That I think really that's what certainly one of my takeaways from today.
And Anastasia, is that important for everybody? You know, sort of, I know particularly as we get older, we should always look after our brain, but how important is that for anyone at any age?
It is very important. It's exactly like with the rest of the body. You don't use it, you do lose it. We do lose memory and we do lose agility, and that's absolutely normal aging process.
Yeah.
So if you keep thinking, if you keep exercising, then you do keep that kind of superstructure where you learned how to solve problems, where you learn more abstract skills, which keeps your mind working. Download a couple of brain teasers on your phone and just do them between appointments for a couple of minutes. That's a habit which keeps your mind turning over. There has been a very interesting study, which is a nun study, where a bunch of nuns in the United States donated their brains. And they found out in post-mortem that the nuns who were active, who were teaching, who were doing things, even if they had changes to brain tissue, similar to people with Alzheimer's, did do fine. But the ones who kind of narrowed their worlds, had the same amount of brain injury due to age, had developed dementia. So it's quite an interesting thought.
It is.
Very interesting. Adrian, how do you feel then moving forward now? What is the next step for you in terms of kind of what you'll do with your experience moving forward and to shape it as a positive? Because I know that, you know, like you said, you're coaching your son's football team and everything like that, which is so brilliant.
So I think what I've done since, so I've been working back within the NHS again since September 20. Yeah, 20. So I'm now really what I'm now doing my same role, same role as I mentioned as I was in the north, because I felt I've got a passion for that. But really, I've become within NHHC, I've become like one of the mental health first aiders. I do like the ideas of getting more into giving something back. So whether I thought about maybe going into a little bit of like well-being, counselling, a bit of CBD type stuff, all of that really has become quite an interest to me. So I'm certainly keen to explore kind of that option. The whole experience over the last 3 or 4 years has certainly just changed who I am.
Thank you for listening to Take a Moment with NCHC. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please visit the podcast intranet page to leave a comment and for details of our other episodes. You can also follow NCHC on all social media channels.